on WEFT Champaign, as well as WEFT.org.
This is Eric Schacht bringing you another edition of the 30 minutes of your life every week where you get to find out what's going on in the Champaign-Urbana theater community. Today we're going to try a little bit of a different format. I've got three actors in the studio with me. Brian Good, Jenna Cohn, and David French, three of the four players, stars of the amazing musical that's currently playing at the Station Theater the last 5 years. Welcome, guys.
It's great to be here.
Brian, you're going to have to get in tight. You guys are sharing that mic.
All right, I'll pretend like I like him, I guess.
Yeah, we probably should have configured it differently so we could have the couple together. I guess we kind of do, but you're not sharing the same mic.
No.
Okay. Well, anyway,
Jenna,
welcome back. You were here last week with your co-Kathy, Mariana. And I tell you what, that show is so good that I just had to have another show dedicated to the last 5 years. And you guys didn't get a whole show last week anyway. And this show deserves a whole show. So I've recruited the stars back in here with me to talk more about this musical and also to kind of help me get through what's going on in theater. So last week was an exciting week. We had the opening of the last 5 years, which we had an open dress Wednesday and then official opening on Thursday, and then they ran three more shows. Wizard of Oz had their four show run at Virginia Theater, CUTC, and Jeff Dare did an amazing job with just an incredibly talented group of actors. If you didn't get a chance to see it, I've got a pretty extensive review up on the See You at the Show website. But I don't know, guys, what did you think of the show?
I thought it was quite fantastic, really. The talent on stage was really incredible, and Colleen really nailed the role as Dorothy. My props to them and the Pitt Orchestra for just being spot on in terms of instrumentation and vocals, and shout out to all of the cast and crew just on the show. It's just incredible, and it was a very well-executed production.
And you know, something else that I thought was really important is the kids looked like they were having so much fun, which I think is one of my favorite parts about like community theater, is watching these little kids really get up there and get to have fun doing something they want to do.
That's right, Brian. And I thought that, especially because of the length of the show, that it was hard to expect that of the kids and to ask that of the kids. And that was one thing that Jeff said he wanted to do, is he wanted to do the full original entire thing. And so I understand there was like some wrangling difficulties and everything backstage, but what they put on stage was just brilliant. And they did have a lot of fun. And I had a lot of fun watching them. I know that youth theater in this town is just fantastic. And he was able to take a lot of the great veteran adult talent, put it together with kids, put it together with a fun show. And yeah, I agree that Colleen's voice was just so well suited for those songs, and she really channeled the original, the Judy Garland, as well as could be done. I thought what was neat was to see some of the characters going, you know, really trying to emulate the original, and then others realized either that it would be more fun not to, or wasn't in their talent wheelhouse not to. And so, I mean, my kind of like comedic review was, what really stood out to me was the Narnia, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Will Curtis as the Cowardly Lion, the youngest one of the primary players, was just fantastic. He's got a very well-suited voice for it, but also a very well-suited personality for it. And he didn't overplay all the fear and anxiety like I kind of feared that he would have. He was Gaston last time he was on stage, and so he was, you know, really big and over the top. And the Lion's got to be a little bit more nuanced than Gaston, I think. And Susan Curtis as the witch, Will's mom, actually, was, you know, it was like a dream role, I know, for her. And it was, there was more, it was more of a role than I remember from the movie. There was more dialogue, a chance for her to be kind of funny, and not quite as one note. Wicked. And then I thought, and the costuming was outstanding too, especially considering the volume that they had to do. So you mentioned David the orchestra.
Yes.
And it was really fantastic, as it usually is in there. And that brings me back to your show too, because you are blessed with a pit in the Little Station Theater that creates just amazing sound.
Yeah, we've got a fantastic crew in general. You know, everybody in the pit is very tightly in sync together. So, you know, it seems like we're not missing a beat. As soon as they go up, and as soon as those lights come on, it's just go. And they're all in sync with the actors on stage. So it's an incredible experience and just a very tightly knit performance altogether.
Yeah, I can't tell you how nice it is to have a pit who I know, even if I were to make a mistake, they immediately adjust and follow, and none of the audience will ever be the wiser. It is really lovely to have that kind of support behind you.
Yeah, and that is something that I don't know community theater in other communities, but it strikes me as being something that must be fairly unique to have shows going on. You know, one is just a one-weekend run, and they get a full pit orchestra, and then we have another show going on at the tiny little station, probably set up to seat 60, 65 people. And there's just such a quality of sound. Am I right that this is pretty unique, the situation that we have here?
It's absolutely unique. You know, most of the theaters around the area do only run one weekend, with the exception of a couple that do two. You know, it's, whether it's, you know, the royalties or the financing of the situation, it takes a lot to be able to put on a show just in general. And we're very blessed to have the opportunity to do three weeks of runs worth of shows.
We're also really lucky to be in an area that has a really large art scene. So there's a lot of people who are uniquely extremely talented in their instruments. So.
Right. And that's, it's really fun with the pit. At the Virginia, you don't get to, I suppose, unless you sat in the front row and leaned over, you don't really get the experience of kind of seeing them in the show. But one of the things I love about the station and the way that Chelsea Collier has staged things with your pit is that it isn't open. I mean, they easily could have had a curtain there. They could have had them be in the lobby and get some extra seats. But they're there, not part of the show. Like, they don't get up and join the fun. But watching them during some of the instrumental bits and actually just seeing how engaged they are. I don't have the names in front of me, but that violinist is just, he's a spectacular player, but he also just seems like he's just really engaged, and he's like waiting to help tell the story. And I've seen your show twice, and I'm not done seeing it, but he has stood out to me both times. Give some other credits to the orchestra. Who's the conductor?
Chris.
So yes. Chris Huffman is our conductor. She was also our music director.
Oh, great.
And has the unique experience of playing for the show as well. She did all of our rehearsals, and as of last night, even played for one of the nights. Barbara Headland is the cello player, and she is phenomenal. She is like the pillar of the pit. Everyone looks at her and follows her. It's lovely. Colin, who is the violinist that you mentioned, is amazing.
He's young, isn't he?
Extremely
young. He's 15,
young.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
I know. Sure. Very talented for that.
I was assuming he was a U of I student of high regard. And then the second time I saw the show, I was with somebody, and the person next to me said, "Do you see that it's uni high school?" And I was like, "No way."
It's crazy, and he's so dedicated. He was one of the first Pit members to start coming to rehearsals. He was there two weeks.
Within the first four rehearsals, he was there.
Mm-hmm. Playing along side by side. It was really nice, because it gave us an extra element, which is always lovely for rehearsals.
Yeah. So I guess we're kind of skipping ahead here, but rehearsals for your show must have been somewhat unique, because we've got, just to kind of set the stage for those who don't know, the last 5 years is a two-person show, a man and a woman, and Chelsea decided to double cast it, which is why both Brian and David are here as the two Jamies. How did rehearsals, were they staggered? Did you work together at all?
Well, at the very beginning, we ended up running rehearsals simultaneously. So Brian and I would run all of Jamie's music. And then about, I would say, 3 weeks in, we started doing split rehearsals where it would just be solo work between one set of Jamie and Kathy's and the other set. So by the time we got to, you know, the third or fourth week, we ended up having two completely different vocal rehearsals and acting rehearsals altogether.
Yeah, and in fact, when you really consider it, it ended up meaning somewhat that we hadn't considered. We actually had about half of the rehearsal time that we would initially have,
right.
Which it hadn't really occurred to us until I started counting rehearsals. I'm like, oh man, we have four more rehearsals for myself before I'm going to be performing this show. So that was really interesting too, because I think it actually meant that we kind of halfway through went, we have to get this together.
We got
to
get it together.
We got to, like,
there's not much time left.
Mm-hmm. We did, so.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, we knocked it out of the park.
Yes, you are knocking it out of the park. It is not done being knocked. And that is one thing I didn't know, if Chelsea and the rehearsal music people were putting in double shifts, or if you were actually rotating days. And it sounds like you were rotating days and literally only got half of the time.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a fairly tight show. There's 14 songs over 90 minutes. It's a one act. So if you're pressed for time, don't worry. This is a great show that will have you out of the door by 9:05 probably. It depends on how long your standing ovation is, really. But this is a show we should talk about the plot. I could talk about it. I could read my long and glowing review, but Jenna's instead going to tell us how this show is constructed and what is unique about it.
Okay, so this show, it follows the two storylines of Jamie and Kathy, but Kathy's story starts from the end and Jamie starts from the beginning. So we start with, I guess I can spoil it.
Of course you can. Yeah. It's spoiled the moment the show starts.
The
Come
moment
on.
The lights up. Okay. So the lights up and Kathy's sitting there and Jamie has just left her. So you kind of already know from the very beginning of the show that their relationship doesn't end up working out. And then the next song is Jamie after he first meets Kathy. So then it goes on and follows that storyline together. And the only time they really meet up is in the next 10 minutes. Yeah.
And I was wondering, I want to, next time I see it, I'm going to time it. But I wonder if that intersection is literally only 10 minutes.
It's not.
It's not?
I really wanted it to be.
Oh,
it's like,
man.
7.5 or 8, but
we were thinking the same thing, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's also one of the things that was interesting to me is that, and I don't know if this was a Chelsea decision or if it's actually written that way, for Kathy to be out during the Shmuel song. Is it written that way?
It's not. It's actually a directing choice. Normally, they have us separated for every single song except for in the next 10 minutes, but that was just her choice.
So what I actually thought was, when I saw it with Brian and Mariana, I didn't like it. And then when I saw it with you guys, I did like it. And now I don't know why that was. There were a lot of things when I saw it the second, because I was seeing it the second time with you. And so there might have been different things that I knew or was looking for or knew that was coming, or maybe that I was just confused by the first time. But I just want to say shout out to you for the way you emote during that song. It is really, it's because it's such a corny, stupid song. Like, how would one really react if someone were singing that to them? And I really believed it, bought it. It was wonderful. The only thing I thought that confused me about Mariana is it looked like she wasn't. When she left, I was confused because I was wondering, she left so quickly, I was wondering if it actually made her mad or something.
So that's the idea, is the end of that song, the sort of Jamie's somewhat, is we get into spoilers if I talk too much about what happens at the end of that song.
Self-indulgence?
Yeah, the self-indulgence and his sort of telling her what she should be doing aspect. For Mariana, it's very angry.
Well, that's just so, that makes it doubly cool because then it is two different takes. It's not somebody doing it right or wrong. Because I thought, it seemed like you thought the song was very sweet and it seemed to exit feeling like I have this kind of really cool and interesting and talented guy.
Well, for Kathy, or from my view of Kathy, for our relationship, is that she just loves to spend time with Jamie, and that's all she really wants, is she wants that time of him telling her a story, and that's what she really loves about him. But when he's giving her stuff and just kind of handing it to her, it's too easy, and it makes her very uncomfortable to the point where she just has to leave.
Okay, so you were distressed when you mm-hmm. left? Interesting. You didn't seem distressed. Actually, mm-hmm. you seemed moved, I thought, mm-hmm. rather than distressed. So something more for me to look for. And you still had your ring on. You had your ring on during that. Is that intentional?
Mm-hmm.
Even though in your story, you're not... No, you are married. You're right. I'm wrong. I thought I'd caught a flaw, like one of those things that I could go onto the IMDb page and say, I found a flaw. I guess I didn't.
No, you're absolutely right. There are just so many eccentricities in the show that you really need to watch it both times to really catch a majority of what's being told throughout the entirety of it.
And that's even if you were just doing it one way. What does get, I mean, for our show, I've seen this show now, oh gosh, I can't even imagine how many times. But what's so interesting is I notice something new every time. Every time I watch David and Jenna, and David has said similarly to me, because we are doing, it's very different takes of the characterization. So every time I watch Jenna make another face that I hadn't noticed before, or David touch his ring in a moment of maybe questioning if he should have ever gotten married. It's fascinating, and there's so many little things. What was the word you just used? It was such a good word. I don't have your
eccentricities.
Yeah.
Right. And so, Brian, when we talked after opening night, you were mentioning to me that this show has meant a lot to you over the years, and you were really excited to see it come here and perform. How did you first come to be aware of it?
You know, it's a really kind of silly and cliche thing, but I watched it with a girl I really liked when I was like, I think it was probably 19 or 20. And it was the movie, which I've actually now seen this show several times. But I remember, I was sitting in like the lobby of my college dorm watching this moving musical. And it just, since then, it really stuck with me. Just the intricacy of it and the, I don't know, the loveliness of just a small romantic show.
Well, really, the construction of it is so interesting to see devastation and kind of happiness on both the opening and the closing in different ways. And it really made me kind of introspective to think back and how that is true with all the former relationships. And you think how you were at the beginning when you got ready for a date or something, and you know, you're wearing your cute clothes and you're just so happy, and then when you think about, you contrast that with what, then you forward it and think of how you were on the breakup and how sad you were and dark, and this play gives you that in a way that it's not classically told arc, which I think really gets to me. I want to play a little clip, since we're talking about darkness and sad parts, of Goodbye Until Tomorrow. And that is, I have you, this is your cast singing this. What is this part of the, what is being told here?
So this is the end of Jamie's arc, much as Kathy's is at the beginning. And so here, Jamie has packed his bags and is writing one last letter to Kathy, kind of explaining as he takes in his last moments in this house that they share together. And contrarily, Kathy has just met Jamie and they've kissed and she's watching him leave.
All right, this is Brian Good and Mariana Seda. The last 5 years, goodbye until tomorrow. Real short clip, just to give you a flavor. Fantastic.
The first time we sang through this, me and David went, it's how many measures? How long do we have to hold this note?
16 measures just holding one note.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you two have very different styles of creating your big sound too, which is really, I mean, that's why you got to see the show twice, just to contrast all of these different performers, because you and Mariana do too. There's like small mouth moves versus big mouth moves, and the way that air is used, and I don't know. It's such a talented foursome. I'm really happy for Chelsea that she came across you, because she was in when the show was first announced. I had the directors of the summer in, and this was the show I wanted to talk the most about, because I was wondering how, you know, it's such a neat show. It's going to take such important casting to pull this off, and then she trusted, you know. She made two shows out of one. Yeah. This is at the station. We're talking about the last 5 years. You're in the run right now. Like, you have a show tonight.
Sure do.
Who's performing tonight?
That'll be me, Brian.
All right. Well, this is 2 weeks in a row I've had performers in the night they're performing. And so this, I have been debating, do I need to change the time of my show? Because it's so rare for me to do that. Because usually there's a show Thursday night and there's a call at 6 and people are too nervous. So I really appreciate you coming in. Hopefully this will inspire other actors to know that they can still put on a killer show after coming on and promoting it. I'd see you at the show. I want to circle back to the last 5 years in a minute, but I also didn't want to forget to pitch the fact that we have some auditions coming up really fast. The station has just released their big season 49. What do you call it? They've released season 49. That's what they've done. And the first show is Farinelli and the King, which is going to be directed by Tanya Arazi Combs. And auditions for this are Saturday the 17th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Go to the Station Celebration Company at the Station Theater Facebook page or stationtheater.com. I probably got the website wrong. It just autofills on my browser, so I don't even know what it is. But I just use Facebook or come to see you at the show page or go to seeyouattheshow.com and look into those auditions. Do any of you know Farinelli and the King?
Not particularly familiar personally.
Okay, well, Farinelli is an opera singer in his 20s to 40s, and he's been precast. Everything else is up for grabs, and so all the other roles are just speaking. It looks like a lot of, too bad I can't do the show, a lot of males 30 to 70. Perfect, my demographic. We don't know the show, so we're not going to talk about it that much. The auditions at Parkland that are coming up, they are doing auditions for both shows on the same night, which is same day, Saturday, August 24th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Latrell Bright is directing Elephant's Graveyard. I've read that it's a a tragic little true story of the death of an elephant. So if you are an animal guy like me, be prepared to have your heart broken probably just as much as the station did with the last 5 years. And then Matthew Green is directing Peter and the Starcatcher. Elephant's Graveyard is going to be the early October performance, 2 weeks, October 3rd through the 13th. Peter and the Starcatcher, which is a musical, is going to be the third and fourth weeks of November. I don't know Peter and the Starcatcher. Do you?
Not particularly familiar, but I do know that Matthew Green is a very talented director, and overall his artistic vision is definitely going to shine through in his production of it.
Absolutely. I've seen his shows both at Parkland and at the station. In fact, he directed the last show I was in, so I'm excited about that. And I'm also Latrell Bright. I think her last show was Men in Boats, which surprised me a lot how much I loved that show, and it was, and what she did in the station with a huge cast and kind of a big feeling show in a small place, and now she's going to get to direct at Parkland with Elephant's Graveyard. Very exciting. And then coming back to what's going on this week, well, there's the last 5 years. We have no rival shows, so it's all up to you to take us through this week. One of the things that I was going to ask you, Jenna, with this unique setup of the show, is I understand going into a show, kind of maybe method preparation of thinking what my character woke up, what he did, what he had for breakfast that day, and kind of try to get into him. But when you're starting at the end and rewinding, do you kind of like reverse the show to go through your character's arc, or do you just like pop into sad place?
I think I just really pop into it. I don't know if there's much I can do right before I can go on besides just kind of like mentally putting myself there or physically putting myself there. And when I walk on, I have those couple measures of music, and I can sit down and read the letter again and look at the ring and kind of think about how that is affecting me.
Mm-hmm. And what about you guys when you come out and it is I guess it's pretty classic, but you have to be unreasonably happy because you've just met a girl and you've got an exciting project. So your life is pretty sweet in the moment.
It definitely goes from 0 to 90 very quickly as soon as you break proscenium. So, you know, behind the scenes, you know, we're hyping ourselves up and really getting pumped. And then, you know, as soon as we go through that curtain, it's just a matter of keeping that energy high and, you know, just kind of personally reflecting back on the first time I had those feelings and then channeling those into the moment.
Does it feel awkward at all, Brian, when you come out and because I don't think you say anything on your first appearance, right? We're just kind of seeing Jamie while she's singing about being devastated by Jamie.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I mean, the first time I come out with this unreasonably large grin on my face as she is singing about how I've broken her heart is probably, for me, one of the most difficult moments in the show, because I just want to turn and give her my attention and say, I'm so sorry.
I know. What do you think? Do you think that he, do you think that Jamie would be distraught to know how this turned out?
I think my Jamie would. I think that especially from the beginning, he's full of this boundless optimism about where things could go, and that he has no idea and has no hope that it would go that way.
Yeah. And yeah, you convey that. You do have a big smile when you come out. And but yeah, I don't know how that's just a weird scene, and there are other scenes like that where there's just great choices that are made. And when I was thinking about it and writing about it, I realized that it did feel like a.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This has been the Weft Courier for Thursday. Join us for the Weft Courier every weekday for Democracy Now! At 4 p.m. followed by two additional programs of information and analysis. Up next, Surfability Freakout Radio.